This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in me. And now, let's join Bishop Ivy Hillier.
It's my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now, today's lesson comes from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Very powerful passage in my life, because at a time in my life when I was really searching for answers, and really kind of upset with God. Any of y'all ever been upset with God ain't afraid to admit it that you was kind of upset with him, you know? Amen. You know, things didn't happen the way you thought they were supposed to happen, and you just kind of was upset with it. Well, I was at that point in my life years ago. I had been, of course, I told you, my testimony is I got called to preach at 9. I preached my first sermon when I was 10 years old. And so I grew up as the Wonder Boy preacher in Houston, Texas, you understand? And so certainly success would have been mine. I thought success would be mine, but I was at a point in my life where success had not manifested. So I was kind of upset with God, because I thought God wasn't doing me right. I thought it wasn't fair. Just wasn't fair. You know, I knew what other preachers was doing and that sort of thing. And I just signed, you know, I was telling God, I'm not your best preacher, but I know I'm not your worst one. How you bless him, and not bless me, you understand? So I'm really kind of upset with God. And then I had been through some stuff too. Oh my God, I had been through some stuff that I really felt, you know, I shouldn't have gone through all of that. I've been your boy all this time. How you let your boy go through all of that? You follow me? So I'm upset with God. And then in my time of meditation, he takes me to this passage. Joshua 1 and 8, it says, "But this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And so here's my subject for the day: taking responsibility for your success. Amen. Taking responsibility for your success. And what an appropriate lesson for this day, when our graduates are here and they're looking forward to great futures. Taking responsibility for your success. What an appropriate lesson, because all of us want to succeed. All of us want to do well. Everybody wants to do well, right? That's all success is. Success, you know, essentially is about us doing well in life. And that's the will of God, for us to do well. And we have been teaching on this whole idea of responsibility. We introduced it on Father's Day. We talked about being responsible, responsible. I may not be responsible for a situation that happened, but I am responsible in the situation to be an instrument that God will use to glorify himself. Amen. That's what we talk about, being responsible. And we said that God looks for us to be responsible people. Amen. Responsibility. And we said, of course, as I quickly review that, we said that is why we believe the whole idea of fathers being so attacked is because they are to model responsibility for the next generation. And so the devil attacks that. We found out something in that lesson. Everybody say, he's reviewing. That when I accept kingdom responsibility, three things happen. Number one, there is an empowerment. That when I say I'm going to be an instrument of God in my situation, whereby he can glorify himself through this situation, he empowers me. He gives me the strength to do it. Secondly, there is endearment. That when I take responsibility, those around me appreciate me more, because I have decided that I am going to actively do something to better my situation. Thirdly, there is an endowment. Everybody say empowerment. Endearment. Talk to me now. An endowment. Now, endowment means, now I leave an example for others to follow. I leave an example for others to follow. On last week, Pastor Reynolds, he taught on taking responsibility in the storms. Amen, amen. That, yeah, the storms will come, but I got to take responsibility in the storm if I'm going to make it through the storm. Amen. Now, today we want to talk about taking responsibility for your success. Because, see, that was never communicated to me. I always thought my success was somebody else's responsibility. But what God was showing me that day when I was going to him and I'm kind of upset about my life and my situation and I'm asking him why this, why that, and why the other. When I read this, I saw where my problem was. Because here it says, now this book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. God's talking to Joshua about how he is to chart the course for his life. Well, wait, does anybody want to be successful in the house? Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure I got the right address for this mail. Well, now, but listen now. Now, so God's talking to Joshua, and he talks to him, and he says, "Now, all right, this book. Don't let this book part up. Get out of your mouth." He says, "Look, there it is in verse 8." He says, "Meditate in it day and night." So he says, "Get consumed with this. Observe to do according to all that is written. Practice it." Then he says, "And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." Wow! When I saw that, I went, "Wait." All along, I thought God was supposed to make my way prosperous. But he says, and thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Here I was waiting on God. God's waiting on me. I mean that may not excite you, but I tell you, that turned me on then. Because listen, all I've ever wanted was for somebody to show me what to do. You show me what to do and I'm willing to do it. That's the way I've been. Now, for the first time, I'm looking at this and I understand that I have a responsibility for my success. He says, and then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? So there's, that can be a bad success. If there's a good success, there can be a bad success. So there's a quality success that I can experience when I do certain things, when I take responsibility. Amen. Lesson is going to be real simple today. But first of all, we want to just kind of lay a good foundation. Is it the will of God? Yes, it's the will of God. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life and have it how? More what? Abundantly. 3 John 2 says, beloved, wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be. Now, I don't know why folk got a problem with prosperity. It's all in the Bible. That to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God even talks in the Bible about giving me my desires. Psalms 37 and 4 says, delight thyself in the Lord and he'll give you the desire. Why do people want to make, like following Christ means, I got to be baptized in pickle juice. I got to suffer. I got to live out of the welfare department or live out of the goodwill. Now, I'm not going to have a problem with goodwill and welfare. I told you, we were on welfare. My parents were on welfare. My mother was on welfare. My father was way sick. I know what it, I know about the powdered milk. Come on now. You understand? So I'm not putting that down. Have I gone to Goodwill? Yes, we used to watch the Goodwill when they bring the new stuff out. So I'm not putting anybody down that's there, but I'm saying in the kingdom of God, in the word of God, there is better. Amen. When Jesus teaches faith in Mark chapter 11, he says in verse 24, what things soever you desire. Jesus teaching on another occasion says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that it ain't my fault folk don't want to believe. Amen. It's not your fault your relatives don't want to believe. You want better. You want the will of God. It ain't your fault folk on your job don't understand that. Amen. It is the will of God. Everybody say it is the will of God. Now, but the will of God does not automatically come to pass. That is what I had to come to grips with because I grew up hearing people say, whatever the Lord wants to happen will happen anyway. But I found out that's not the case. It's the will of God for everybody to be saved, right? But everybody won't be saved. So that negates that whole statement about whatever the Lord wants to happen, it's going to happen automatically because God wants everybody saved. But everybody will not automatically be saved because there is a responsibility that we all have when it comes to the will of God coming to pass in our lives. Amen. So, all right, kingdom success is an ongoing pursuit. It's an ongoing pursuit of accomplishing predetermined goals and objectives with a lifestyle that is balanced, that provides the ability to enjoy the pursuit while glorifying God. Everybody say, get the CD, get the CD. Success is not always measured in dollars and cents. Amen. It's not always measured in dollars and cents. And I think you cheapen it when you try to always equate success in dollars and cents. Bible says, Luke 12:15, says a man's life is not measured in the abundance of the things he possesses. So that already tells me that God has a different way of judging things in life. Amen. Though money is important, and everybody know that because you're not working for thank you. Amen, amen. It is not to be the governing factor when it comes to success. Because a lot of people got plenty of money, but they're not happy. Hallelujah. The Bible says love of money is the root of all evil. And everybody think the Bible says that money is the root of evil, but money is not. It's the love of it. And most folk who love it don't have it. All right. So now, let's look at this pursuit of success. Taking responsibility for your success. If you're going to take responsibility for your success, I've got 4 points today. Number one, you must be purpose-driven. Everybody say purpose-driven. Number two, principle-driven. Number three, pressure-driven. And number four, praise-driven. Y'all got those 4 points? If you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember these 4 points now, and then we're going to deal with each one of them. Number one is purpose-driven. Everybody say purpose-driven. Now, just a brief commentary. I got to know my purpose in life because to succeed outside of my purpose, I will not be fulfilled. Amen. All right. Second is principle driven. Everybody say principle driven. In other words, when I am on my path for success, I got to understand that there are principles, there are laws that will get me there. Amen. I am going to live by some philosophy. Follow me. As a believer, you've given your heart to God. Therefore, the principles that govern your life are in the Word of God. Amen. And if I will accept that, I will see there's enough in there that will get me where I want to go. So number one is purpose-driven. Number two is principle-driven. All right. Number three is pressure-driven. Now that's where the rubber meets the road. Because on the path of success, there will be obstacles that you will have to overcome. Amen. That's it. The road of success is not easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. So the difference maker in being successful is your ability to handle pressure. And see, folk didn't tell us about that. So the moment we get a little pressure, then we go, it ain't fair. No, that's life ain't fair. But through the Word of God, you're equipped so you can handle. Amen. See, once you sell in your mind that you're in a fight, when you get hit, ain't no surprise. Ain't no surprise. That's what you do when you get fight. All right, if you're going to play football, tackle football, and you get tackled, you don't get up going, "What happened? Why'd you do that? What did you?" We understand that's a part of it. And what I got to tell you, what you got to get a gripping in your mind is on the path of success, there are pressures, but we can overcome them all. Number one class is what? Purpose driven. If I'm on my to take responsibility, I must be purpose driven. Number two, I must be principle driven. In other words, hey, I know I got a plan of action to take. This is not by happenstance. This is going to happen systematically. Therefore, I can tell everybody in advance, you look for me at the top. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Number three is pressure driven. In other words, I understand that, hey, that there are going to be some pressures. There are going to be some obstacles. And we're going to go through about 4 categories of them just to equip you and prepare you. And I understand that's it, but I'm going to overcome. I've been designed by God to overcome. that is a part of my covenant right to overcome. Hallelujah. Then number four, I must be praise driven. Everybody say praise driven. Now that's dynamic when I get into that, praise driven, because there is an amount of praise that I want. Amen. Everybody, Christians, you don't like what? No. I'm working for something. I'm working to be rewarded. I'm working to be appreciated. And you cannot, you know, don't deny that. We're going to get to it down the road now. If y'all be a good class, I'm going to get to it. Now, so I don't want to deny that. I don't want to act like that's not so. I don't want to act like that I don't want to be rewarded, because I do. I want some out of life. So there is a praise element that I'm looking for me. Amen. There's something in this for me. There's something. My success should pay off for me. Oh, y'all, I don't know. Y'all trying to act like y'all don't understand that. But that's it. Payday comes. You look forward to it. You don't want a handshake and say, well, thank you. No, there's a certain reward I have been working for. We have covenant together that I do this for you. You do something for me. And it's okay. Now, I got to keep it in, well, I'm going to show you. I got to keep it in the right perspective, because to go overboard in it means I will forget and I will mistreat other folk. That's when ambition takes over. And when ambition takes over, then only my reward is important to me. I said praise is dynamic. That's a praise that's due God, because he's the one. He's the one that got me where I am. Okay, now can we break this down? Can we unpack it? I told you everything that's in the package. Now let's see if we can. You know, when you're on a journey, you know, you put everything in a suitcase, and then when you get where you want to go, you open the suitcase, and then you got to take everything out. So I just told you what's all in the suitcase. Now let's see if we can unpack it. Let's talk about purpose. Everybody say purpose. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, because when I make Jesus the Lord of my life, then I must live according to divine purpose, because that is the key to fulfillment. The Father promises me success. That is true. But that success comes within the purpose for my life. There's a fulfillment of purpose that is inseparable from, fulfillment and purpose is inseparable. All right, where did I tell you go? Ephesians 2:10. Now watch this now, because what amazed me as I study God's word is I understand that he's got this thing already mapped out. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. All right, so when I want to know, verse 10 in the Amplified says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now, what all that's saying? That's saying, listen, that God's not making this script up as he goes along. He's already has a plan for my life, a path for my life. He knows my beginning. He knows my end from my beginning. If I stay on track with him, live according to my divine purpose, I'm going to make it. All right. Now, when I want to know the purpose of a thing, I don't ask the thing. I got to ask the creator of the thing. All right. Only the creator knows why he makes the thing. So when I want to know, God, what's my purpose? I got to go. When I want to know my purpose, I don't ask the talk show host. I can't ask government. I got to ask God. He's the one that made me. And he tells me that he's created me for a divine purpose. So I'm not here by accident. May not have been planned by my mother or my father, but I'm not here by accident. I understand that I'm here on time for a divine purpose. Amen. All right. Watch this. When a thing lives out purpose, it experiences fulfillment. Listen to me, young folk, because this is so key. This is so key. You know, I wish I had somebody sit down and talk to me when I finished school. about the stuff I'm telling now. Amen. Because I wouldn't waste it. I wasted a lot of days I could have been preparing for where God wanted me to go. Amen. You know, because I was kind of bullheaded. God wanted me to be a pastor. I didn't want to be no pastor. Yes, sir. But I ended up being a pastor because that's where I was going to be fulfilled. But I look at the years that I wasted and time I could have been preparing myself to be better prepared for this. I wish somebody had talked, but they didn't.
Yes, sir.
But I'm helping them out.
Amen.
I'm talking to them. Talking to everybody else who want to be successful. Just listen to me because I'm about to give you some wisdom. See, I was going down a path where I was making it. Mm-hmm. No, serious. I was a system analyst and good. Making long money. Good. But unfulfilled.
Come on now.
Empty on the inside.
Praise him.
Hey, somebody, well, I sure would like to try that. No, you wouldn't. You think you would. But I was there. That voidness was on the inside. Because God, boy, he had a plan for my life. That plan was for me to be a pastor, right? Now, here's the thing. You were seated in a chair. That chair was designed to hold the weight of a person in a seated position. That chair is fulfilling its purpose because you were seated in it. When fulfillment cannot exist without created purpose. 100% says, you got to think. So it's not one of them churches that's going, hey, baby, hey, baby. You got to think. I'm going to make it think. No. So that means if I want to experience fulfillment, I have to step into divine purpose. What's this? Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to be cut short because he can afford your dreams. Look, that was my whole issue was I don't want to be no pastor because all the pastors I saw was broke. I don't want to be no pastor because all the pastors I saw, they had to kiss butt. Can I say that? Okay, so I don't want to be that. I don't want to be, that's not the kind of, I wanted to be, where I wanted to do something for my family, I could do it. But I didn't think God could afford my dreams. I hadn't read the word. Once I read the word and I understood it and I acted on it, he is faithful. Go to Job 36 and 11. Job 36 and 11. Everybody say he promised. Yeah, he promised. He promised. Job 36 and 11 says this. And young people, get this. I think if I have all of you all's address or email, I'm going to send you this free because I want you to keep this. So when you're in your pursuit, you'll play this and you'll hear it over and over and over and over, and it's going to really bless you. All right, Job 36 and 11. Are you there? What does it say there? Let's read it out loud, everybody together. If they... They'll... Come on, let's read it once more again. Verse 11. If they obey and they shall spend their and their. Now watch this. This won't stand. If God didn't want us to do this, why he put this in the Bible? If he didn't want you to spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure, why put that in the book? We would have just served him just to get to heaven and miss hell. But look at all this other good stuff. He says, now, if you obey and serve me, I'll let you spend your days in prosperity and your years. That's why I do not apologize. I've been serving him for 50 years. Come on here. Now, if I've been serving God for 50 years and I'm saying I'm doing it right and this ain't come to pass in my life, it's something wrong.
Come on now.
Everybody say he promised. All right. So what I want to do is I want to make sure that I have a purpose-driven life, that I'm not going to ever forget that I made him Lord. And once I made him Lord now, he has the final say-so over my life. I cannot make decisions without involving him. I cannot chart a path without consulting him. The Bible says, real clear, it says, you know, if you confer with the Lord, he will direct your path. Amen. Everybody say purpose driven. All right, number two is principle driven. Everybody say principle driven.
Now go to Psalms 119, principle driven, because any intelligent pursuit of success is based on proven laws for success and not some abstract happenstance. It's commonplace to study to be successful. That's why you finish school. That's why you're being trained, because we've got to study to excel. All right? Now, you have to get your mind beyond tradition. After almost 30 years of teaching faith, and I consider myself maybe third, fourth generation faith teacher, I'm amazed at the disdain that many people have in the church world for the successful. Yeah. Amen. To me, I thought we'd be past that. I thought we'd be past that, that we'd understand God wants you blessed. Yeah. Amen. But then when they see somebody blessed, oh, what is he got that for? What does she have that for? Isn't that crazy? I'll tell you what it is. It's tradition. Traditional thinking says, I please God when I suffer. No, that's it. Traditional thinking says, I please God by how much I suffer. So if I'm not suffering, I'm not pleasing God. That's not the Bible, y'all. And the Bible says it is tradition that makes the word of God of none effect. All right, now watch this. Look at what the word of God says. See, the Bible is more than just a book of stories. There are powerful principles here. So Psalms 119, look at verse 97. It says, are you there? Oh, how love I thy law and its meditation all the days. Thou, through thy commandments, hath made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because of thy precepts. You can't tell me that studying the word of God don't make you smart. I applaud your study. Your studies and your academic studies will teach you how to make a living. Yes, studying the word of God teaches you how to live. And you got to have both of them. You don't expense, you don't let one suffer at the expense of the other. You need both of them. Hallelujah. All right, watch this. So I must embrace the philosophy of scriptural success, that God wants me blessed. Everybody say, God wants me blessed. The gospel is the good news. What is the good news to a poor man? I don't have to be poor no more. But how about the Bible says the poor you have with you always? Didn't say you needed to be one of them. So I must embrace the philosophy of scripture. Everybody say the philosophy of scripture. And of course, you know, this is one lesson I can't go through all, but I'm going to tell you, in this word of God is everything you need to succeed. Amen. All right. Now watch this. As I read the word of God, I'm encouraged by the profile of the saints that succeed. In other words, when I look at the Bible, I see God takes David from being a shepherd to a king, Nehemiah from being a cupbearer to a governor, Joseph from being a slave to a prime minister, Gideon from being a farmer to an emancipator, Mary from being just of low estate to the mother of a movement. The widow of 2 Kings, he takes her from being in debt to owning her own company. Psalms 1, verse 1. I love it. I really hope that you will take it to memory. It says, go there, Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law that he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall. Now watch this, watch this. Talking about the word of God. Amen. The man that will take this word, the principles of the word of God. What I'm trying to get you to see is, don't pursue success at the expense of a relationship with God. as you're pursuing success, you're going to college, I know all of that, be away from mom and daddy and all that sort of thing, but keep yourself in church.
Amen.
Find a church that teaches like this church. Amen. Well, ain't nobody teaching like you, Bishop. I know can't nobody teach it like me, but there's a whole lot of them that's trying. Get you somebody that's going to teach you faith. Find a church in that city that's going to teach you how to overcome.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. And carry yourself to it, and you be faithful, because you want everything working in your favor as you pursue success. The principles of the Word of God produce incredible results. Everybody say incredible results. They produce indiscriminate results. If he does it for one in principle, he must do it for another. See, that's what's so exciting about it. That what he does for others in principle, he will do for me. Then thirdly, it produces incremental results. What I mean is, it's a step at a time. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So success is not a get. Anybody try to tell you success is an overnight journey, they lying to you. They're lying to you. And I say, yeah, he's an overnight success. I say, it was a long night. long night. I've got to understand. Now that brings me to my next point. My next point is, we've covered what? Purpose-driven. We covered what? Principle-driven. Now let's get to?
Pressure-driven.
Oh, all right. Go with me, Bible. And let's look. Well, y'all tell you, I'm about to run out of time. I'm going to take a little more time now. Because, you know, they got to do the graduation at the other locations. So that ought to give me a little more time. Isn't that right? Okay. I said, I got to agree. Where two of us shall agree is touching me. Okay. All right, go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. See, I had to wrap my mind around the pressure part. That there were going to be obstacles. An obstacle is something that obstructs, you know, my way. That must be removed. It must be, you know, circumvented. It must be overcome. It must be surmounted. I mean, an obstacle. But obstacles are part of this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Now watch what James says. And it's, until you really understand this, it's going to be hard for you to, you know, because you want it easy. You want the this, that, and other. It doesn't come that way. There's a fight that comes when you really want to be successful. Amen. All right, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into, oh my God, why not just one temptation? But he's talking about different kinds of it, different kinds of trials and tests. No, just have me one. No, but he says there are divers obstacles that you're going to have to face, all right? Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh, talk to me, patience, and patience have her, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be, that's mature, entire what? One. So the end result of you overcoming obstacles is that you're at the place where you want to be. Amen. Y'all working me hard over here in New Light. Amen. Let's talk about obstacles real quick. Number one, satanic obstacles. Yeah, the devil will do his part to try to stop you through mental attacks, trying to discourage you. He'll try to stop you through physical attacks, sickness and disease. He'll try to stop you through are y'all laughing at me? No. Y'all said I real out. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen. Manipulative.
Manipulative. Thank you very much. Okay. I do the best I can what I got, y'all. You understand? Okay. So what it is, the devil will work through others to try to discourage you. But we overcome him. The Bible says that he's given us power over all the power of the enemy. So see, that obstacle is not enough to stop you from getting where you need to go. Number two, situational obstacles. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. So anything you're going through, any situation you're going through, somebody else has already been through it. All right? So then, when it comes to situations, and please listen up. Hug the person next to you. Say, listen, 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 listen. Okay, watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. There are distasteful situations that you will encounter on your way to success. All right. Number one, the unexpected. Well, how do I prepare for the unexpected? Knowing though it took you by surprise, it didn't take God by surprise. And I'm trusting God in this process, even though stuff come up that I didn't see in the beginning. Everybody say the unexpected. All right, number two is the unpleasant. There are unpleasant things that happen along the road to success. I remember the first time as I was a manager, and I had to fire an employee. And it was bothering me because I knew the person. I knew they needed their job. I knew their family and all that sort of thing. So my boss calls me, and he calls me, and he says, okay, Ira, I see that, you know, you're traumatized over what you got to do. And then he said this. He says, now, if you can't do this, then you're not the guy I need. So that means two people go home today. Lord have mercy. How many know I stepped to the plate, did what I had to do? It was unpleasant. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So there are some unpleasant things that are necessary that you have to do along the path of success. So number one was the unexpected. Number two was the unpleasant. And number three is the undeserved. Oh my God, and if anything can discourage you, it's the undeserved things that happen. There will be things that happen that you feel you don't. But you can't, everybody say press on.
Press on.
But you got to press on.
Amen.
Paul says, I press toward the mark. Everybody say press on.
Press on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when unexpected stuff happens,
press on.
When unpleasant stuff happens,
press on.
When the undeserved stuff happens,
press on.
Everybody say undeserved, undeserved. I mean, when folk that you helped betray you, I didn't deserve that. But you got to. When folk lie on you and know they lying, you go, I don't deserve that, but you got to. I'm telling you, that's just a part of it. Situational obstacles can all be overcome.
Amen.
So that was what kind of obstacle? Satanic? Situational. Watch this now. Social obstacles. Unfortunately, everybody will not applaud your success. Oh my God. In fact, in society, there are people who will put roadblocks to your success with policies and with politics and persecution to express their prejudices.
Amen.
Everybody say politics. Yeah, you will get involved in in-office politics.
Uh-huh.
Where you were going, huh? You will get involved, or you will be exposed to policies that will tend to hold you back. It's a part of it, but you don't let that stop your pursuit. You will be exposed to persecution. The Bible says all that will live godly will suffer what? But here's how you handle persecution, church. You rejoice.
Amen.
Because the hundredfold is near. You can't pack enough rocks to throw at every dog that barks. That's what God told me years ago, you understand? So I quit trying to pack rocks. I take what you say and I just build bridges. Your rocks that you throw at me, I build bridges, because one day you will wake up and you will follow me. Hallelujah. Everybody say politics, policies, persecution. Yeah, but you got to
press on.
Now, how do you overcome? You overcome all that with favor. God will give you favor in the midst of folk trying to change policies to keep you down. God will give you favor in the midst of politics that tries to hold you back. God will give you favor in the midst of persecutions. God will give you favor in the midst of people being prejudiced. And they will watch you rise, even though they try to do everything they could to put their foot on you. Whew. So number one was what? Come on. No, sorry. Obstacles. Satanic. Situational. Okay, now let's get personal now. Subjective obstacles. Subjective, I said just subjective. Now, this, we talking about you. There's some stuff in you that will keep you from being successful, where you will sabotage your own success that you got to deal with. You got to deal with your emotional deficits. Amen. Your anger, your resentment. You don't like that part, but you're shouting on the other part. No, no, you got to deal with that. You got to deal with your cultural deficits. Now, that's another world you're trying to get in, and you can't get in with your slang. You got to deal with your iniquity deficits. And what do you mean by that? That's the things that that you have a weakness to sin to. Jeremiah 5:25, right? I just did write it down. It says that iniquity can keep you from good things. So I want to understand that. I got to work on me. Isn't that, because when I started looking at my whole situation, I had a lot of stuff I had to improve myself to be successful. I couldn't blame everybody else. I had to look at me. Now, what is some things that I needed to do? First thing, I was all resentful and all mad at everybody. I had to correct that. Nobody else could do that. I had to correct that. Then I had to, you know, I had bad study habits. I didn't really have to study, you know, but you know, with being a good hooper, I didn't have to study. I was very talented. I could get a couple of scriptures, filibuster, give me a good hoop, and everybody happy. God says, I want you to teach. Now, I got to spend hours in study. And hours in study getting this whole, you know, so I can present the word of God. So I had to discipline myself. Everybody say discipline. I had to discipline myself. And I'm going to tell you, and when you're going to school, you're going to have a crowd that wants to go party. And for a season, you are so happy to be away from mama and daddy, and can't nobody tell you nothing.
Come on now. Come on, God. Amen. Come on. Tell me.
The party crowd rarely succeeds.
Amen. Come on, God. That's good.
Yes, sir. Choose to value the investments that have been made in you. This sounds like a baccalaureate investment. A speech. Yeah, this sounds like I'm preaching. But everybody need this, don't they?
Amen.
Okay, I'm about ready to wrap up. No, y'all, I'm about ready to wrap up. Okay, now, so self-worth deficits. Everybody says self-worth deficits. Say, how you look at yourself determines how you will navigate success. I was brought up, and then I'm gonna go on to the my praise part because I think we can end praise real quickly. I was brought up, and you know, in 50, 60, 70, that sort of thing. And, you know, my testimony.
Yes, sir.
As long as I'm competing with somebody who looks like me, I felt superior. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Okay. I used to play chess very well, very well. I was chess, you know, I was on my way to being chess master. Very good at chess. I could place chess in my head up to about 15 moves. I didn't need any board.
Amen.
Wow. I was very good. Amen. I was a chess master of my school, chess champion at my school. When we would go to competition, if I sat across from a white guy, I could not think.
Come on, Lord have mercy.
Come on. I mean, it shut me down. I couldn't think. He didn't do nothing to me.
Praise him.
But for some reason, I just believe he was superior. And I had to overcome that.
Amen.
All right, now how do you overcome that? I get my worth not from what society has said, but from what the Word of God says. When I start getting my worth and my value from what God said, it override all of the environmental deficits that had been hung around my shoulder, because I understood God says, I am the righteousness of God. I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. All things are possible to him that believeth. I can do. Look at this church. Okay. Finally, my success is determined by how praise-driven I am. Now, I commented early on being praise-driven. In other words, there's some praise that I do want. I want the promotion. I want the raise. I want the new position. I want to be appreciated by my family that I worked so hard for. And that's okay so long as you keep it in perspective. The four lepers were there. They had, I mean, their plan worked. They had stumbled into the enemy's camp, the enemy all gone, and man, they were trying on new clothes, eating all the food they want. And then they said, wait. We do not well because there are other folk that we ought to help. The problem with the rich farmer was, he says, look what I have done. I've stored up great goods for my future. I'm going to sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. I have much good. He got it out of perspective. All he could see was himself. I'm telling you, it's okay for you to get a good pat on the back. But you got to understand, you are blessed to be. Don't be a shoplifter. Don't be a shoplifter. Don't let your mothers and fathers send you to school, and then when you get your degree and your good job, you act like they've done nothing for you.
Come on, bitch. Come on. Come on, God. Teach.
Watch this.
Don't act like your church hasn't done anything for you. Blessed to be.
Okay,
finally. Now watch this. I've got to also understand who deserves the praise. When I have reached pinnacles of success, my praise reflects my appreciation of God's faithfulness. Yes. Everybody say God's faithfulness. Yes, indeed. Amen. My praise when I'm on my path of success, I've got to be committed to praise because it is through my praise that I accent my faith. Everybody say my faith. How do you see? When I believe I received, I can thank God for it before it comes to pass. See, a lot of our praise that you see going around here, it's not because it's manifested, but it's because it's on the way. Anybody praising God today for something that's on the way? See, we're consumed with this. We understand God's plan. We understand that my praise, the Bible says, when I praise him, the earth yields her increase. Stuff starts to happen when I praise him. May not have everything you want to have, but when you praise him.
Yes, sir.
Let me close now. I know I preach far too long, but this is good. Don't let anybody tell you problems come to make you strong. If that was the case, everybody who had problems would be strong. How many of y'all ever heard that? That is not true. I had a person call me and says, well, listen, you know, I'm very privileged and I want to do some things for my children, but I don't want my children to have it so easy that they don't have an appreciation, blah, 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 blah. They said, I had it tough and da, 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 da. And I know how, because I had it tough, that's why I'm who I am. I said, let me ask a question. How many other people grew up where you had it tough? Well, a whole lot of them. Well, how many of them made it? Not many. Oh, so it couldn't have been toughness.
Amen.
It's how you responded. See, it ain't the problem that makes you strong. A whole lot of folk have your kind of problem and don't make it. What makes me strong is how I respond. When I understand that the end result of a problem is like me working through resistance to strengthen my muscle. Close with a story. Then I let y'all go. Y'all been such a good class. Good class. Church told of a scientist who was working in his laboratory. He went away on vacation. Went away to a seminar or something. Left his laboratory open. His daughter goes in and she sees this beautiful flower. And she looks at this flower, but the soil smells and it's all rocky and stony. And so she says, this flower is too beautiful to be in a place like this. So she takes the flower out and she washes the stones off of the root system and plants it in some nice, sweet-smelling soil. And it dies. Father comes back and says, what happened? She said, well, Dad, I saw it, but that soil was so smelly and all those rocks, he says, and I took it out. And I planted it in some nice soil. And so he said, baby, you don't understand. That flower is unique. It needed what I had it in. Amen. That soil, though smelly, was nutrient rich.
Come on now.
And that flower, it wraps itself around the stones so that it holds itself. And that's why it could grow to such height. She said, what you thought was hurting it was really helping it. When you're on your way to success, watch this. Since God knows your end from your beginning, there are things along the way that will happen. And you may be wondering, God, why did you let this happen? You got to understand, he is the master. Oh, my God. And he's not going to let anything take you down. In the midst of it, just like a weightlifter takes a weight and he takes it and he strengthens himself with it. Every obstacle, every problem, every setback, you're not going to let it stop you on your way. You're going to take it as though it's a barbell. Lift it up. And you're going to become stronger. I'm out of time, y'all. I got to stop. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please, nobody's walking, nobody's moving. I'm going to give you an opportunity to take a step towards success today.